There was a shiur today with the dedicated to the Moshe Ben Shlomo Zichron Levracha, David Hirsch, who has yard site, so the shiur should be, Aliyah should be Mel Tzioshe for all the kinder in the Einiklich. We're starting here the new season, here the Sefer Ochis Chaim LaRosh. So we first want to give a really a Bemsi Ashikoyach, as always, like Glazer together with Pivya Salzburg, who graciously throughout the years, be Menadev all of the Sfarim, to be able to learn. And certainly this is a very big schus of Torah Derabim. And this particular now we've been going to the Rosh. The Rosh was one of the great Gedolei Yisrael of all time. The schus of Rosh should be Megan on them. And the children of the Einikov to be able to do a lot of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim with a lot of nachas. The Sefer Ochis Chaim LaRosh, it needs a little bit of an introduction to it. It is referred to by all of the greats going back, you know, as far as the Tosfos Yontif, that it's a sefer that's called Ma'ata Kamus Rapa Eichus, which means there is quantitatively, there is not too much that is written. Here it seems to be written because you have Perushim on the bottom and so on and so forth, but you have it in different Chamoshim in different areas where it has been reprinted many, many times. And this has been divided, at kidei kach, that one should basically make a seam on the sefer every week. Because the content is not that much, therefore you see, for example, if you take the first, that we start the first opening pages of the Ochis Chaim, you see, L'yoyim Rishim, which means that these first few pages are to be learned on every Sunday. And then you have L'yoyim Sheni, which means that every Monday you learn the halachas and the divrei musar of the Rosh Yom Sheni. So this was divided on 7 days. Shabbos is Yom Shvi, which is the seventh day. As you can see, that this has been constructed, as we're going to point out, this Seder, to divide the limud of the Rosh, this is the Chelik HaMusar. There's something very unusual. We always think about the Rosh, and which is true. The Rosh is the greatest Pesach of all time. In addition to being the great Pesach, there's also Tosfos HaRosh, all the Perushim HaLashas, which is not Halacha LaMaisa, which is Pesach, like Tosfos HaRosh. I can remember as a young bacher learning the yeshiva, particularly what comes to mind is Masechta Bava Metzia. And I guess age 14 or so, and learning Tosfos, not all Tosfos were that easy to learn to make a leaning on your own. Even today it's not that easy. And I remember when the Tosfos HaRosh came out in Bava Metzia with the commentary in the Mefarshim, one of them was HaGaon Rav Moshe Herschler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Great Talmud Chacham, one can call him HaGaon. Actually was a Baki Bishas, was a Talmud of Issa Zalman. And he actually, he was here, yes, true, he was here a number of times. Actually, when he came in the first time, did not know who he was. We're still in the old shul, the old Beis Medrash. He falls in with somebody here from the neighborhood, but I brought him in, that was close to him. And we were learning this after Zvachim, I remember at the time. He just sat in over there, did not know who he was, and after that he comes and starts to talk with all the lamdas, with the Rambams and all the Rishon, until I found out his name is Moshe Herschler. And you just can imagine the simcha that I had finally meeting the person who was the Moitzi Lior, who published the Ksav Yad. He worked on Ksav Yad, many Ksav Yad he worked on. He was a mumcha on Ksav Yad. He published Chidusha HaRamban. It was a whole machon, a whole institution that he spearheaded and he headed. So it was a tremendous guy in the Baki Bishas, and particularly his Miksoya, his specialty was working on Ksav Yad of Rishonim. You know, publishing the Rishonim, first of all, you had to be able to read the Ksav Yad of the Rishonim, and then to make the various Hagoyas and the Horas and the corrections and the Tikkunim and the Perushim on the bottom, as is known. So the Tosfos HaRosh Bava Metzia was something, you know, sometimes the same words of Tosfos, all you need is an extra word. That's an extra 2 words. All of a sudden it's a new light. All of a sudden you begin to understand that which you didn't understand before. And the derech of the Rosh is, the Rosh was very, very clear in what he wrote, whatever he wrote. And so far you have the Rosh, therefore you have Tosfos HaRosh, and then you have the Piskei HaRosh, which, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch, let me just point out again, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, where did he get his halachas from? The halachas, Rabbi say, is from the Gemara and from the Rishonim. So as he writes in the Hagdama, he says he took the top three Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei Poskim, the Rambam, right? And the Rif and the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch said, I decided to pass him like two out of the three. Sometimes the Rambam, the Rosh would agree against the Rif. Sometimes would be the Rif and the Rosh against the Rambam. Whenever you had two out of the three agreeing on a particular loche, that's the way I paskin. So the Rosh was one of the big three that determined, again, the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch. So here again, here we have a sefer Musar of the Rosh, which again is sort of like something unusual when we think about the Rosh. It's not the first thing that comes to mind is the Rosh being a Bal Musar. You think about Rabbeinu Yoina, you know, Shari Tshuva, he's very, very popular as being one of the great Bal Musar, in addition to being the great Rishon that he was, and so on. And so we have Orchis Chaim Loharosh. So before we actually get into it, I don't know how much, the truth is, it's very difficult when I say, in terms of, when you're giving a shiur in terms of Orchis Chaim Loharosh, you know why? Because it's very little text. And I think maybe we may be a little bit spoiled, but last year when we were doing the Svarim of Rav Dessler, all we had to do is basically explain that which is written. Rav Dessler wrote lengthy essays, and we went through the essays, and the contribution to the Shia was to try to explain what he's saying. But Lamaisa, we had all the words were there. Here the Rosh is, he say every line is something new, totally new. And which means that every line in itself is a whole world by itself, and there's very little text. He's telling you something, and then actually you have to add yourself and try to find other areas in order to appreciate really what the Rosh is trying to teach us and trying to convey. And we're going to find out that many, many great Bala Musar put in a lot of koyach and a lot of effort in every word of the Rosh, because you realize the Rosh is a Rishon. When a Rishon says something, same way that when Shiurim are said on a Rambam, people make a mistake. They think when you say Shiur on a Rambam, that only in a Rambam there's an extra word, right? The Machadish are totally new Chiddush, because there's an extra word in Rambam. The truth is, whenever a Rishon writes something, every word is meduyik. There's nothing really excessive. Same thing certainly with Rashi. You know, as the Chidor writes, that are called tipas dioy shel Rashi tzrichin leishiv shivin nekiyim. It's a play on words, like with a woman, right, that needs to count for 7 days for shivin nekiyim. It's tipas dam. But here's tipas dioy. In other words, if any drop of ink, you know, fell from Rashi's pen, it was not just fell. You have to really work on it. If you don't understand why you have this extra piece of ink that Rashi happened to be writing, you have to sit on it, shivin nekiyim, you have to sit on it like 7 days, as if to say, in order to realize that there's something really there. It's not just been there by accident, it's not there by chance, but every word has really meaning. And so is when you're learning Rishayim of any kind. Rishayim, when they write, it's very precise and it's very exacting. We should, and what we'll be doing, as we always do, as a Hagdom, as an introduction, give a little bit of a background of who the Rosh was. And this is something that even Bnei Torah, you know, who have studied all the life in yeshivas, and we learn Rosh, and we heard of the Rosh, and the Rosh's name is mentioned, and everybody heard of the Rosh. Rosh is one of the most popular names one can imagine of any Rishayim, the Rosh. But however, a little bit about the Rosh, maybe very little is known in general. Let me just start right away here like this. The Rosh basically was born in Germany. And Rosh was born in Germany. He was basically from the Chachmei Ashkenaz. He was from the German Ashkenazic descent. And he was born in the year of 1250. Okay? Born in the 13th century in 1250. He was Nifter, though, in Spain, in Toledo. Right? In the year 1327. So he's born in Germany. And he ends up in Toledo in Spain, which there's a whole story how that happened. So basically, the Rosh bridged two worlds. The Sephardic world, which was towards the second half of his life, which was in Toledo, in Spain, and the first chelik of his life, which was in Germany. So he basically had all the Torah of Ashkenaz in his blood, and then in addition to that, living in Spain for so many years and heading the yeshiva. By the Rosh, by the way, when the Rosh comes to Spain, Spain changes. It becomes a tremendous mokim Torah, certainly in the area of Toledo. The Rajba lived at the same time, same contemporaries. The Rajba lives in Barcelona, and the Rajba was the chief rabbi of Barcelona. And the Rosh, even while he was still in Germany, they wrote, they corresponded, so they knew about one another, but they had never met. And the Rosh finally, when he makes his way into Spain, so the Rajba takes him in. He's a newcomer, he hasn't got where to go, so to speak. You know, he's just coming out to Spain. He takes him in, and I think the way legend has it, at least he was spent about a week in the house of the Rajba. And the Rajba really recognized firsthand the godliness of the Rosh, so he was the one who really introduced him and said, hey, there's a position that's open in Toledo. How about you'd like to be the Rav over there? I'd like to be the rabbi in Toledo. I'm going to recommend you. And so, in fact, he becomes the Rav of Toledo. And right away, as the Rosh would do, he's a marvelous story, immediately starts a yeshiva. And it didn't take very long for the fame of the Rosh, which was in Ashkenaz, was known. And through communications, it was somewhat known in Spain, but very quickly, it spread like literally, very, very quickly. And Talmidim were attracted from all over. And due to the Rosh also, the Derech HaLimud a lot was changed from the way they used to learn in Sfard, the mostly in the Ashkenazic type of Derech HaLimud, like the Baal HaTosis from Ashkenaz, which that was really the foundation of the Derech HaLimud of the Rosh, Tosis HaRosh, which he introduced and was very, very popular. So it's pointing like this out. We should just mention, as always, which is tragically in history, the history of Jews going back, especially to medieval times, was always fraught with danger, and unfortunately, harigas, massacres, and so on. The mother of the Rosh died al Kiddush Hashem. The Rosh is called Rosh Rabbeinu Osher. That was his name. So he's called Rosh is Rabbeinu Osher. He was Rabbeinu Osher Bar Yechiel. The father of the Rosh, his name was Yechiel. And so maybe, before we even talk about the Rosh, just have an idea who the father was, what kind of father was he to have this chus, to have the son of the Rosh, who was the Poisik Hador, was the leading Poisik, right? The leading Poisik in all of Germany, becomes the leading Poisik in Spain, which is effectively saying he's the leading Poisik really in the world. Leading Poisik in the world. What kind of a father does one have in order to have that chus, to be able to have a son like the Rosh? Well, I guess who can bear testimony if you want to know a little bit about the father of the Rosh, who was Rabbeinu Yechiel. Well, let's go right away to someone who is quite a bit of a maven on Gedol Yisrael, one of the great Gedol Yisrael in his own right, and a great Baal Mekubal, the Chido. None other than the Chido. And the Chido, in his Sefer Shem HaGdolim, not in the entry of the Rosh, where you would expect them to find what I'm going to mention now regarding the Rosh, but he talks about a totally different Rishon, which is the Ravon. The Ravon is Rabbeinu Eliezer Bar Noson. Rabbeinu Eliezer Bar Noson was one of the Baal HaTosfos. And the Rashbam writes to him tremendous titles on the Ravon. So the Ravon, in the entry where the Chido talks about the Ravon, he mentions about the father of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yechiel. And the information that the Chido says, where did I get my information that I'm going to tell you right now, he says, about the father of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yechiel, I saw it in the Ksav Yad Kodesh, I'll quote it to you in a second. I found it, says the Chidon, the Ksav Yad Kodesh, in the Holy Ksav Yad of Reb Chaim Vital. So Reb Chaim Vital was the Talmud of the Arizal, right? He was actually the Talmud of the Arizal. The basic, all the teachings of Kabbalah that we have today, which is known as the Lurianic Kabbalah, which is the Torah, the Kabbalah of the Arizal, because the different schools in Kabbalah. We're talking about Kabbalah of the Arizal, that comes out, the Arizal wrote very little himself. It's all from Reb Chaim Vital, who was Mekabel firsthand from the Arizal, and he then recorded the teachings of Kabbalah that he received from his Rebbe, who was the Arizal. So Reb Chaim Vital, Rabbi Isai, writes, and the Chido says, Motsosi, I found, which was written, he says, in a Megillah of Rabbi Chaim Vital, Mitaharas Yodoy HaKodesh Mamish, Loshna Chido. In other words, it's not somehow from a cliché. I saw it in that Ksav Yad. I saw it myself, the Ksav Yad of Rabbi Chaim Vital, the great Baal Mekubal, right? The great Baal Mekubal, and this is what he wrote. Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote, let me mention a thing like this. The Rosh had a number of sons. All of them, each one a Godel B'Yisrael in his own right, but they are overshadowed by the godless of the Rosh, over their father, as we find many, many times. One of the great sons that the Rosh has was Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh. His name was Rabbi Yehuda. And there are tshuvas of Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, which was printed by Mechon Yerushalayim. It was a Poisik in his own right, and he also went together with his father when his father, the Rosh, left Germany to go to Spain. So Mele, he also, Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, also goes to Spain. Fine. So, the Reb Chaim Vital writes, I found in the writings of Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh. So, Reb Chaim Vital writes, I found a letter that Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh writes about his grandfather. Again, who's his grandfather? The Rosh's father, Rabbeinu Yechiel. So, what did we find there? What did the Einikel, Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh, write about Rabbi Yechiel? He says, Motsosi bi geres Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh. And by the way, just to have an idea again, Rabbi Isai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh, who was he a brother of? The Baal HaTurim. Because the Baal HaTurim was also the son of the Rosh. Rabbi Yankiv Baal HaTurim. So the Baal HaTurim, who wrote the Tur, right, that is the basis, by the way, that formulates later the Shulchan Aruch. The fact that we have Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch, the four sections that we are known as Or HaChaim, known as Yerideya, right, known as Eben Hezer, known as Choshen, where did these names come from? Where did these departments come from? This comes from the Baal HaTurim, was the one who basically set up these, right? Departmentalized, this is the way that he put them. And the Shulchan Aruch later on went and also wrote his halachas based on these four sections. Chalokim that deal with monetary matters, that deal with marriage and divorce and so on and so forth, based upon, again, the divisions that were already made by the Baal HaTurim, the Sefer of the Tur. So Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Rosh is a brother of the Baal HaTurim, and he writes as follows. Lefi she'atzosi kot mashkenaz. When we left Germany, he says, I was young. As we mentioned, the Rosh left Germany to go to Spain. So the Rosh was an adult, Shtesach was an adult. But his children, he writes, Rabbeinu Yehuda writes, he says, I was a cotton. He says, I was a cotton. So therefore he says, well, he stakti lishmoya maseim. Interesting. I was not zoich, he says, to hear so much about my ancestors, rak ma'at mizayir, because I was young at the time. I was shemati, but I'm going to tell you now, I heard from my father the Rosh. Okay? So here's Rabbi Chaim Vital, right, say, writing with his own handwriting, that he saw a letter from Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that what I'm writing, I heard from my own father. So in other words, this is the Rosh, really, the source of what's being said now is from the Rosh himself. I heard it, he says, and not only from my father, the Rosh, I heard Ma'achoy Zuknosi, I heard it from my grandfather's sister. So both substantiated what I'm going to say, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh. I heard it from my father, and I also heard it, he says, from my grandfather's sister. Asher, he says, Sipruli, and he said as follows. Zekeni Rabbeinu Yechiel. My grandfather Rabbeinu Yechiel, Zechonu Livracha, Noilad, he was born the year Tof Kufayin, which is the year 1210. Okay? So you make a cheshbon. The Rosh was born in 1250, so his father was born in 1210, so his father was about 40 years old, it comes out, when the Rosh was born. So my father was born in the year 1210. He says, not my father, the Gzei, the Rechiel, and when Rabbeinu Yechiel was 16 years old, when Rabbeinu Yechiel, my Zayde, when he was 16 years old, he had a chaver nemun be yeshiva. He had a very close chaver. We shmoy in the name of my Zaydis chaver was Reb Shloim HaKoyen, Zechoyen Lebrochet. Okay? So now you have your two chaverim. You have Rabbeinu Yechiel, and you have Rabbeinu Shloim. These are two. Because of Bris Yachad, they were such close friends that they made a pact. They made a pact, they made a bris, they made a covenant. They made a deal, they made a promise, they made a commitment. Shekol echod mehem yiloi chelik im chaveiroi b'chol mitzvoiseim u'maseim. Now they're so close, as every mitzvah I do, you have a chelik in my mitzvah. I'm not taking it all for myself. And every mitzvah that you do, I have a chelik in that. So mom's it was like a shutvus. Like in a business shutvus, there's a shutvus in ruchnias, in mitzvahs. So any mitzvahs any of us does, right, we share half of it. We give up half the schar. You get half schar of my mitzvahs, you get, and I get half the schar of your mitzvahs. Now, listen to this, it was the night of Yom Kippur. Okay, so this Rabbeinu Yehuda, again, let's remember, heard it from his father, the Rosh. So the Rosh really related this, what happened here. I'm repeating it again because it's a mind-boggling thing, you can hear what happened. It was the night of Yom Kippur. Kovso Neiroi Shel Shavo Shel Harav Rabbeinu Yechiel Ashashom Bebeis HaKnesses. In other words, it was a custom, he writes, that people, today also, people light candles. In Europe, of course, was a very big thing. People used to bring to the shuls all the candles. Used to bring candles and candles, like one Ashir candles. I don't know where they put all those candles. But Mamish filled, literally, candles and candles and candles. You have to light candles, Yom Kippur, Ner Neshomim. All different types of candles. For the health of the living ones, and was for the Ner Neshomim, for the departed ones. Candles. So, and the candle was a large candle, like a Yahrzeit candle, which was supposed to burn the night of Yom Kippur and the entire day of Yom Kippur. Fine. Guess Machzach HaMaise, Selesh Sechoy, it extinguishes. It extinguishes. So, Kikein Minig Ashkenazim, he brings this as a Minig Ashkenazim, that to bring candles, to light candles, Lahad Likner Shaiva, a wax candle, Shetidloi Kol HaLayil V'Chol HaYom, that it should burn all night and all day. When he saw that his nair extinguished, he took it as a bad sign, as a bad simon. He was filled with pachat, with fear, and guess what? And Rabbeinu Yechiel is nifter. And Rabbeinu Yechiel is nifter on chalamoid. Now, okay? So again, this is what the Rosh is telling. This is what the Rosh was saying. And Rabbi Yehuda says again, I'm repeating it again, that he heard it from his father, the Rosh. It was a minig in Germany. What did they do to a nifter before they buried him, before they put him into the ground? For Hoya Minik, I'm reading it because this is the Ksaviyad that Reb Chaim Vital had, which comes from the Ksaviyad of Rabbeinu Yehuda. So we're reading the Ksaviyad, reading the Lashon of Arishin here, we're reading. So this is Torah. This is Arishin writing. And he writes, For Minik Shal Ashkenaz was the Minik in Germany, Shoyu Manichin Oroin Shalmes Al Evan Gedoilus Somach Lebes Akvaris. Before they buried him, they put the Oroin right on top of a large rock. And then they would open the urn to see if the mess wasn't all shook up, because they wanted to make sure that his hands and his feet are all straight, and that's the way they're going to lower him into the ground. This was the minig in Ashkenaz. Because the movement, right, transportation can cause that shifting, that the body shifts. The body might shift in a way which is not bekovedik. So therefore they would open up the urn to see if the body is in order, because machmas tiltel nis akim hames, many times because of tiltel, right, the mess becomes crooked, toich orin, or maybe it's yosher, to find out to see if is it yosher or is it nisakim. So they opened up the orin of Rabbeinu Yechiel, the father of the Rosh. So who goes first? His chaver, his all time chaver, Reb Shleime HaKohen is the chaver. V'korev harav Shleime HaKohen zecher tzadik levracha etzel arba moisef. So his loyal chaver of all time, Reb Shleime, goes up to the Dalramas, to the Yorin, ubocha b'koy rom, and he starts to cry very loudly. V'oma b'fnei kol ha'kehilas, and he makes an announcement in front of all the people who are gathered there. Ani maskir, I want to remind you, Rabbi Chiel, that we had a pact. He's saying to the nifter. Ani maskir, Rabbi Chiel, he says, I'm reminding Rabbi Chiel, giviri, my master, v'chaveri, lifnechem, Sheyishko, I don't want him to forget. I want him to remember, not to forget in Oilam Ha'emes, that we were loyal friends. You should never forget it. Sheyishko mehabris shekor samodi. You should remember. Now when we come to Shemayim, you should remember the deal that we had. The moment that he made that announcement, was hischil Rabbeinu Yechiel l'sachek, the nifter begins to laugh. Betoicha oren v'ra'uhu kol hakol. When was the last time you read that? I don't know. This is Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh writing from the Ksaviyad. It comes to us of Rabbi Chaim Vital. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh says, I heard it from my father. So the Rosh is saying this about his father, Rabbeinu Yechiel. It's not finished. So after a number of days, after the Petira of Rabbeinu Yechiel, V'arav Reb Shloime Yoishev Aloimed Bebeis HaMedrash, and Reb Shloime is sitting and learning B'yoimed during the day. V'ayar is Rabbeinu Yechiel Yoishev Elov V'kler Ime Baloche. And Rabbeinu Yechiel is here like in the flesh. He's next there. And Reb Shloime sees his old chaver. He's right here. He sees his old chaver sitting and he's learning with him. V'kler Ime Baloche. V'shoyeloi B'inyonoi. And Reb Shloime is asking him about his inyonim, about his situation. Romaloi Rabbeinu Yechiel says, Ki hu began Eden. He says, I'm in Gan Eden, betoiv moed. I have it very good up there. B'shohoi lo kisei muchim li atzmoi ben kol chaside ador. And I have a chair, he says, among all the gedoil ador. So said Rabbeinu Yechiel. So said Rabbeinu Yechiel to Reb Shloime. V'omaloi Rab Shloime, so Reb Shloime says to him, Ono Adoini Balbrisi, but please, he says, my good friend, Tamani. So I'm very surprised. How do you have Rishus? Because Bedera Klal, once somebody's Nifter, they don't give Rishus. They don't give Rishus for Nifter to come down again in this world, right? To appear like a human being again. So I'm surprised, astonished, im yeshlecho Rishus lehisroyis of Neyodom to come to appear such in front of people. Vayan loy vayoyma, so he answers, Dalacho. Ki yeshli rishus leilech lebeisi ki betchilo. Then he says, I even have rishus to go back to my house as if it was before. Ela she'eini roitse, except I don't want to do it. Why? Shemayoyimru, because people who will see that, they will say, kamen mizgoy atzmut tzadik ze, that this tzadik is such a balgaiva that he considers himself to be a bigger tzadik than all the other tzadikim Gan Eden, because all the other tzadikim Gan Eden don't come back. And I'm coming back. I don't want it to give the impression that I am showing myself off as a bigger tzaddik than all the other tzaddikim. Chashash Gaida. Particularly would be noteworthy because the first thing that we're going to see in the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh, the first thing that he talks about is Gaiva. And maybe we can see that because we see that his father, Rabbeinu Yechiel, he said, I have more Rishus. I can even do more than that. He said, I have Rishus, permission to come home, he says, as it was before. He said, because of Gaiva, people shouldn't think that I'm considering myself or showing myself off to be a greater tzaddik. No, it's not finished yet. So now it's 6 months later. Okay, he's already nifted for about 6 months. Right, we're talking about after his petira. Beleil Shabbos, it was a Friday night, b'chatzi alayla, at midnight. So 6 months after the petira of Rabbeinu Yechiel, it was b'chatzi alayla, nire le'ishtoi b'hokis. All of a sudden, his wife sees him in the flesh. His wife sees him, so he did come home for that moment. He comes home, it's a Friday night, and his wife sees him there. And he said to his wife, Matos, what are you doing now? Hine mahari, quick, vikumi, get up quickly, take all the children, k'chi banayich, banayisayich, take the children, the boys and the girls, v'hoitziyom mehera mokadeh. Run, flee, escape. Ki mocha yehargu kol ha-yehuda mashu b'mokam hazeh. There was a gzeira looming to destroy all the Jews of the town. Nobody knew about it. He comes down in a shemayim to tell his wife, quickly, now, Shabbos, yeah. Children, daughters, everything, quickly. Because tomorrow they're going to destroy, they're going to kill all the Jews. The chen nigzal kol ha-svivos. The gzeira is not only here, in this particular town. But the gzeira is in the entire sviva. Vispalalnu aleim, Rabbeinu Yechiel says, we were mispalal in Shomayim, v'niskablu tfulasenu, listen to what he says, our tefillah was accepted to spare the towns around, chutz mamokem hazeh, which means here the gzeira still is kayim, therefore I came to tell you to escape. We were able to point with our tefillah, he says, to remove the gzeira. The gzeira originally was all over, the whole sviva. We were mispalal and we were successful. They succeeded to remove the xerises from the surrounding area. Chutz ma'amokem hazeh, he says. Writes Rabbeinu Yehuda. Again, he was doing the writing. He's the one who's writing. Vatokom vataskein, and so she gets up and she does this. V'chozro lahatzil es ashelo, she went to take whatever as asho hitziya misham, and she took out my father. Because my father then was her son. Right? My father was her son. So when v'la'achrod v'kulam yotzu b'leil Shabbos, Adoni Ovizal, my father the Rosh, escaped, v'ochiv ha-Rab Chaim, v'hi, v'shisha achoyos, and he goes and he enumerates and he lists sisters and stuff like that, everything. Ze lokatati, right? Ze lokatati, this writes Rab Chaim Vital, listen, this I collected, maha igeres ha-nisker, Rab Chaim Vital, now going back, this what I just read, says Rab Chaim Vital, is what I collected from Rabbi Yehuda, v'ashikosov lebonov, v'dalakti bo, I skipped stuff, I was makasser. This is more to the story, so we'll never know what he left out. But there was more, he said. This is all, atkan loshen, Rabbeinu Rab Chaim Vital, by the way, this is now the chidosh saying, this is the loshen of Rab Chaim Vital, miksivis yodoy yad hakoidish atzma. So you don't need any perushim on that, Rabbi Yisai, to have an idea. So this is Rabbeinu Yechiel, who is the father of the Rosh. So you want to understand, have a little idea about how you're zeicha to have a son like the Rosh, again, who is the Pesach Ador and the leading Godel, you know, the preeminent Godel of this generation. Okay, Menchishem, in the following weeks we'll continue more. So let's take a look. What we need is a Hagdomev to look right at the sheet. We usually don't do that. But this is, again, this is all part of the introduction to the Sefer Orchis Chaim. So I'm not sure how much Orchis Chaim we're going to do, but we need this portion to have the feel and the Hagosha of the Sefer that we're going to be learning. So I just want to show you, first of all, you have here a Haskoma from Reb Cheskel Sarner. We know Reb Cheskel Sarner is one of the great Rosh Yeshivas, right? Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, Zechoyin Lebrocha. And Reb Cheskel Sarner is writing this letter to Rabbi Yomin Zilber. The Olam knows the Olam HaTorah, Rabbi Yomin Zilber, of course, lived in Bnei Brak, Zechatzadik Lebrocha. Was a noted Pesik, very close to the Chazon Ish, a Mechaber of many Svarim, probably the most popular is the Sefer, many Chalokim called Oz Nidbaru, quoted all over the place, which is a Sefer, a comprehensive Sefer on Hilchi Shabbos. many, many chalokim called Oznit Brud. Doesn't mean that everybody follows everything that he paskin, because there's a lot of disagreement. Also, Shem Zalman Orbach, for example, had difference of opinion in many, but that's kach darker shul Torah. Zeboinev is a soyser. There's all different opinions. But as a matter of fact, also, Rabbi Yomin Zilber, in addition, as he's saying, being a noted poisik, writing all these svarim and halocha, was also a person that people used to come for him for brochus. As a matter of fact, in Eretz Yisrael, he was known as Binyamin HaTzadik. Binyamin HaTzadik. And Binyamin HaTzadik is a takeoff of someone that's mentioned in the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra. And in fact, there was someone, Ma'aseh Binyamin HaTzadik, and the Gemara. So a takeoff on that name, Binyamin HaTzadik. So here there was another Reb Binyamin. And that was a Bnei Brak, Reb Binyamin Zilber. Actually, his name is Binyamin Yeshua Zilber, and Binyamin Atzadik, as it was known. So what did he do? So what he did also, he reprinted the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh, and he added also some of his Perushim, some of his own Perushim. So Reb Cheskel Saner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, writes the following. You can see this is written in Tovshin Yud Zayin in 1957. You can see the date of the letter. And let's take a look, see what the word with the eminent Choshev Rosh Yeshiva writes to Rabbi Yomin Silver. He says, "No sato or nos no simcha belibi." Tremendous simcha, he says, was given to me that I biroisi when I saw ki yedid nafshi. He says, right, my good friend, like my soulmate, yedid nafshi. He says, Harav HaGoyin HaMuvik, the great Goyin, Yiras Hashem Oitzorei, who is the great Yerushimayim, right? Merein Rabbi Yomin Yeshua Zilber Shlita. Shekvar Yismachi Gavra, the person already is known, he already had proven himself. Yismachi Chibur of Bahaloche, he already has proven himself with his Haloche, as a person, as a Baal Mechaber. Oid Mamshech, but he didn't stop, he continued to produce work. Oid Mamshech Lefayer, he comes to beautify as Migdish HaToyre Bibiyurav Bisifra Yira. He's also writing on Sfaram of Musar. The Oymed Lehoitzi Leon is ready to publish Sefer Orchis Chaim Lehoroshzal. In Beurav Habihirim, with his clear, right, his explanations. Kiyad Hashem Atoivolov, as Hashem bestows upon him. Look what he writes. Look what the Becheskel writes. Ha Sefer Hazeh, this Sefer, or Cheschaim Laharosh, so this Sefer, or Cheschaim Laharosh, he says, which is Ma'at HaKamas Moid, is very small in quantity. It's very small in quantity. Actually, if you, without any Perushim, if you print, you can print on just 2-3 pages, you can have it. If you have, you print it. That's all. That's all it is. 2-3 pages. We take out all the commentary. Take out all the mafarshim. It's very small. Ma'ata kamus. Zocha. That sefer was zoiche shiyad hagdoilim bekam adoire shelefoneinu memashmishboy. But the words of the Rosh was zoiche that many gdoilim in previous generation working with the sefer. Veshrabenu atoisis yontiv zeche tzadik l'brocha. And the Tosis Yontif himself, right? And the Tosis Yontif himself, he was really one who became very much attached and connected to the Sefer. The Tosis Yontif, as you take a look what he points out over here, Roboy Brochum Yuchedis. He saw something very special in this Sefer. Look what he says. V'husidroi leprokim perik b'chol yoyim. So when you open up this Sefer, and you saw Yom Rishon, and you saw Yom Sheni, the Rosh didn't make that. The Rosh didn't make these divisions. These divisions were made by the Tosfos Yontif. The Tosfos Yontif wanted to make sure that every week you finish the Sefer. So therefore he divided. For Yom Rishon, you learn this section. Yom Sheni, you learn a different section. This was the doing of the Tosfos Yontif himself. He was the one, as you take a look, as he says, V'kova she'ilil medubay b'tzibur. And the Tosfos Yontif made a takona that you learn it b'rabim. That you learn the Sefer Barabim. Mashloi also came Bishar Sifre Yira Musar. Other Sfarim, there are countless of Sfarim. You can say Chovis on Bovis, you can say Shara Tshuva. You don't find that it was divided systematically, right, in a way to cover it, you know, from point A to point B, and to have a takona to learn it B'Sibur. You don't find it, he says, Reb Cheskel Saner, by any of the other Sfarim on Musar. The Tosfos Yontif did it to the Sefer Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. He says, "Ki ra'u motzuboy Orchis Chaim," because kishmakenu, the ways of life you're going to find here, and if the message in the Orchis Chaim are ways of life, you need it for every day and every week, and that's why it was subdivided for each day to take that dose of Musa that you may need. L'chol adam Yisrael, v'lachein omru. They used to say, "Man boyachai, whoever wants life, yilmedu boy v'yichir." We're talking about spiritual life. Learn the Sefer and you're going to have life. This is going to fuel your life. Learning the Sefer of Chesheim, Reis V'Cheskum. V'yesh Tikva. Now that you, Rabbi Yomin Silver, you are reprinting the Sefer with your Pirushim. There's strong hope, he says. I trust, Reb Cheskel saying that. I trust Shetoshuv Hatkona, because apparently throughout the ages, you don't see too many places where they learn this, right, every day a different section. Reb Cheskel-san, I hope that they're going to reinstate. I hope that they're going to reinstate this takona once more. He says, "Shetiknu Rabbi Seinu Gedolu Achroinim Azal Lekoyvay Belimut Kivua B'Tzibur V'Yisrabe Hadas V'Hayira B'Yisrael." And you see, he signs off Yecheskel Sana. Now, I want you to know, to have an ashtikal idea. We're talking about the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif, Rabbi said to us, does not need any introduction. Tosfos Yontif, of course, was the great Mefarish who wrote the Pirush on the Mishnayos. And the Tosfos Yontif was born in the mid-1500s. You realize when he was? The mid-1500s. And he's Nifter in about 1654. And the Tosfos Yontif, by the way, was a Talmud of whom? He's a Talmud of the Maral Mitrag, and he's a Talmud of the Kli Yoker. So these are two names that we're quite well acquainted with. Tosfos Yontif is a Talmud of the Maral Mitrag. He's a Talmud of the Kli Yoker on Chumash. When he was 18 years old, he becomes Dayan in Rosh Yeshiva in Prague, the Tosfos Yontif, at the age of 18. And there we find already Shakavataya correspondence and writing with the Kli Yoker, all kinds of divrei, and so on and so forth. While he was in Prague, as we said, at the age of 18, his life was quite calm. But from then on, very, very stormy life. He was imprisoned many times because of different types of libels, literally libels, because he was a Ish Emes, and many of the rich and the wealthy people who expected to dominate him, and he did not allow it, were very upset at him. And therefore they did, those people, you know, who had the money, they had a lot of power, they went to the government and so on and so forth, and they, as they say, they libeled him, right? Lies, fabrications, all types of situations, he was imprisoned. There was a point where his life was actually in danger, that they're going to take his life, to that point. And when he was saved, and he was ransomed, the Tosfos Yontif, so he was Kaveya, that day was established to be a Yontif, and he writes in his Savor, he writes in his last, in his will, that all the Einikluch, he says, all the descendants, he says, to the end of time, should make a Yontif on that day that he was saved from. And Kiyidua, there are many, many Einikluch, even in the neighborhood, there are Einikluch, descendants of the Tosfos Yontif here in this neighborhood. And the day of the Tosfos Yontif, like Hatzola, the day that he was freed, where they make a Suda, where they come together, the family members, to celebrate and to fulfill the wishes and the takona of the Tosfos Yontif. So this is the Tosfos Yontif, rabbis. By the way, he was 30 years old when he wrote the Tosfos Yontif. He was 30 years old when he wrote the Tosfos Yontif. And I just want to mention, he was also Rav in Vienna, but I want to mention that when the Bach, the great Bach, was Nifter in Krakow, the Tosfos Yontif becomes the Mamalamokim, and he succeeds the Bach in Krakow. Alright, so now, so the Tosfos Yontif writes that famous Pirush on the Mishnayos, he makes the Takona, and he subdivides it, right, per 7 days a week, subdivides to learn the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. And guess how you're supposed to learn it? Well, take a look in the next book, number two, look at the next item here. And this is in the Hagdoma of the Sefer Rabbi Yom Zilber, in his edition. And he has just a few lines, there's much more, but we just took out a few lines here. Let's take a look, what does he say? And he says as follows, HaSefer Orchis Chaim LaHarosh LeChoyin LeVrocha. He brings down that in the old Sfarim it was called Hanhogis HaRosh. In other words, the Chidor, when he writes about the Sefer, he calls it Hanhogis HaRosh. In any case, Orchis Chaim, Hanhogis HaRosh, he says, Nisparsem v'nispashet, right, became popular, and it became accepted, b'chol tfutzos Yisrael, all over. V'nitzvus, and it was printed, v'hizdamniyos rabbis, by many opportunities, b'chumashim, you'll find it something in the back of Chumashim, you'll find it in Sidurim. V'zocha Rabbeinu HaRosh, bozeh mashloi zochu acherim, what was the Rosh Zoche? Like we say, any other Musa Sefer, you don't necessarily learn B'tzibur. People learn it, yeah? But here was the idea that to learn it B'tzibur, the Hagoyim Baltosis Yontiv, Bizman Shoyerav Be'ir Vin, when he was Rav in the city of Vienna, listen, you know when the Takona was, every day to learn a piece, you know when? With Talis and Tfilin before Baruch Shomar, because before Baruch Shomar he's still allowed to speak. After Baruch Shem, he can be mafsik. So not only did the Tosfos Yontif make a takona to learn it every day, b'tzibur, but the opportunity was when you had the whole minyan in shul for davening, you're wearing your talis and tefillin before Baruch Shomar. You're going to be learning the day section, the section of the day. Let's take a look. As he says, Wrapped in talisit film, the chilek oisoy l'shiva chalokim, and he was the one who divided into seven parts. Chilek echo v'chol yoyim miyimoy sashvua. The chayim behar be yeshivois hoyoymrim eso orches chayim b'tzibur. This is what he did. So I want to show you another thing. You know what else the Tosfos Yontif did? It's almost unbelievable. The Tosfos Yontif, Rabbi Yisai, is someone who wrote, you know, Svarim. I mean, the familiar one that were familiar is Tosfos Yontif. Maybe familiar also, you have the Madana Yontif on the Rosh, and then say from Madana Melech. This Svarim and Svarim and Svarim. Countless Svarim that the Tosfos Yontif really wrote. He took the time not only to be busy with the Orches Chaim of the Rosh, I say making takonis. You know what else he did? He translated it into Yiddish so women would be able to learn it as well. You realize he did that? He translated into Yiddish. Could have had anybody do it? No. Because it's the words of a Rishon. The Rosh is a Rishon. And many of the words need to be understood and to be interpreted according the Das Torah, something like the Tosfos Yontif. And therefore, to make sure that you have accurate translation, at least what he believed the Kavon of the Rosh was, he wouldn't have entrusted anybody else. And he took the time to translate it into Yiddish. And I've seen copies of the original print, when it's printed. Maybe you should have brought one, a copy. And you'll see there, you have the Rosh in the middle, in the center, and on the side, printed in Yiddish translation, because that's the language that they spoke, you know, in those areas, was Yiddish, and it was translated into Yiddish. Why? I said, because I want women also to understand it. If they don't understand this, then not all women understand Lashon Kodesh. Let's take a look, and you'll find it over here also. Look here. There's a sefer called Orches Chaim HaMavur. That's another edition, and that's by the descendants. These are the printed by Enichlich of the Tosfos Yontif, and they start as follows. If you take a look, you go down like five lines or so, six lines go down in the middle. Va'af. So we want to save time over here. So Va'af. You see Va'af Rabbeinu Tosfos Yontif. Zechoinu Lebrochem. We have it. Va'af Rabbeinu Tosfos Yontif lifnei ke'arba me'yishoner. Realize we're talking about 400 years ago. The Tosfos Yontif 400 years ago, Rabbi Brochem Yuchedis, Vitzorach Godel Lamde Barabim. He's found there's a great need that should be learned Barabim in public, Chilkosi divided, Limois Ashvur for the days of the week, Vitzidra Lepokim. He was the one that was Mesadrit into chapters. Bitekona Kivua. It was a Tekona Kivua, Shayam Ruru Bitzibur. Vloyoid! Elishitir Gemoyla Loshan Ashkenaz. See that? He translated it into German, into Jewish, into Yiddish. And the Tosfos Yontif writes in the Hagdama in his edition. By the way, he had it printed also. He himself, the Tosfos Yontif, published it. He published it with his Yiddish translation. He writes, Chavivim Olai Devorov. This is the Lashon of the Tosfos Yontif. The words of the Rosh, he says, are so chaviv, are so beloved. You know what he says? It wasn't even a tirche, he says, to translate it. We're talking about how did the Tosfos Yontif have the time? He says, it was nothing. He says, a piece of cake, he says. It was so chaviv to me. He says, this work. He says, I didn't even deem it to be a tirch, he says. Not even a tirch, he says. Adi says, look at Loshin, he says, it was not any tirch to copy and translate Loshin Ashkenaz. Koze lebavur yishmu v'yavinu v'yikchu musar. Everybody should be able to study it. Kekotn kegodol elav yishmoin. Does it make a difference whether, he says, people, gedolim, ketanim, between talmid chachamim, simple people, anybody, everybody should have access to the words of the Rosh. I translated it. So gedolim and ketanim, everybody's able to understand it. Yan ki ro'u motsu boi orches chayim l'cholodim Yisrael. Go to the next paragraph. Vine yidua. Now, listen to this. In the world of Musar, I guess one of the great Balam Musar, you know, is the Alter von Kelm. We talk about him a lot. So look at the next paragraph. Vine yidua ki oi lifne kemei ashona, more than 100 years ago, Kova was established by Mo'er Agoylo, by the light of the generation, he says, Rav Hai Sabe Kadisha, right, the altar, right, Mikel, Marona Rabon Rabsim Chazisl. The Zim Chazisl, who was, by the way, a descendant of the Tosfos Yontif. Look what it says in brackets. If you know Rosh Tevis, Nun Vav Nun, Nin Venechet. Nin v'neched, he says, Rabbeinu Tosfos Yontif, Bebeis HaTalmud Torah Shlo. Oh, I should tell you something. Usually today in America, when you say Talmud Torah, what do you think about elementary, kindergarten, right? Talmud Torah. In Europe, Talmud Torah was called a name, a yeshiva gedoyla. Because what are you doing in yeshiva gedoyla? You learn Torah, so why is it not the Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah means you learn Aleph Beis Davke. You learn Gemara Torah, says that's the real Talmud Torah. That's the real Torah. Right? You only shas the poskim and rishonim. So in Kelm, what was called the Talmud Torah was really the Yeshiva Gedola. And I should point out that going back a few hundred years ago, going to the mid 1700s in Venice, Italy, and you have the great Rabbonim, right? The great Rabbonim. You have the Gedulei Truma going, which was even earlier, and so on. The way it was called the Talmud Torah of Venice. So if somebody doesn't know, he said the Talmud Torah of Venice. You think again, it was the Cheder of Venice. No, the Talmud Torah of Venice had the greatest scholars, the greatest Talmud Chachamim. It was called the Talmud Torah of Venice. So here too, the Alter from Kelm, the base of Talmud Torah Shlo. So he established the Salimud Baruch Chaim, right? He says he established it in order to Omrei Bekviyas Barabim Bechoyoyim, to say it Bekviyas Barabim La'achat Filu Shachris. So in Kelm, they already also had the Takona. After Shachris, what do you do? Some people say Tehillim as well. Take out, he says, the Baruch Chaim. Bechol B'nei HaYeshiva, Kelm. The chol b'nei yeshiva who yekoyrim bo yagdov together b'tzibur piske b'piske posik after posik al pi hachrozas hashatz. There's something interesting. It seemed that they had a shatz. There's somebody who said, and everybody sort of like repeated. That's what it seems. So they had a shliach tzibur. That was a whole thing. They had a whole system. They had a whole system of how this was learned. It was on b'tzibur. They had sort of like a shliach tzibur learning it over here. Ukedarkom ho yimedag the kim lekroes, and as the derech was in Musar and Kelim, they would learn it with a nigun, like you learn Musar. Ma'oy mikalev bin nigun nilahav. He says with a very, he says with mamish, with a very hartzige, with a very hartzige nigun beregish rav, with a lot of emotion. This is the way it was. So you see, further, the form of the life when they left yeshiva, what was the form? The form and the mold was based upon the midos that they learned from the Aruch Chaim of the Rosh. That basically was the foundation of the life in the future, in Kelm. And he points out further, he says, because they learned it l'maisa. The Chanikov and the students, she spazru b'chol mekoymos hatayre, and then the students of Kelm that spread out all over, who yekoyvim, they in turn again, they also established limudon, the iyunon, right, and the sefer rav ho echus hazeh, in this sefer that has so much quality in it. Umehem, and there were many people that among the Yom and the Roim, everybody makes Kabbalas. People make resolutions. So some of them, right? Shekiblu alatzman ben Kabbalas of Yom and the Roim, among the resolutions that they make in the Yom and the Roim period, lilmed by bekviyas kol yomos hashana, that they're going to adapt it, that it's going to be something they learn all year. For mechadshim boy, there would be mechadish chidushim, you're learning a rishon. So the same way when you're learning Rosh and the Shas, right? So you have kashas, you have terutzim, you have mechadish things. There would be mechadish things in the world of Musa also. When the Rosh sets something, right, to understand what his words are, sometimes an extra word, and so on and so forth, they've been mechadish chidushim, he says, to understand the oimik kavanas divrei harosh. And look in the bottom, look at number 5, I want to show you here, number 5 in the bottom, because what we have is the number 4, basically, this is the words of the Tosfos Sanhedrin himself, right, but basically we went through a little bit already, but look here, number 5, these are the words of the Chidoh. So the Chidoh himself in the bottom here, the Sefer Shem Agdoilim, he calls the Sefer Hanhogis HaRosh, was mentioned already before. Right? It's known as Aruch Chaim LaHarosh, but in certain areas the Sefer was known as Hanhogis HaRosh. That's the way it was called, the Hanhog of the Rosh. So the Chidoh writes the following, Hudvisu Bekamas Sfarim. You will find the Sefer, it was printed in many, many Sfarim, like in the back of a Chumash, in the back of a Siddur. You'll find it, he says. Vehem Divrei Musar V'yira B'dvarim Kesarim. It's very short. And that's why many times the words of the Rosh need explanation. Because the Rosh wrote it very bekitzer. Vehem Arzeh Halvonoin. But they're bekitzer, but they are towering, he says, like the cedar trees, as mighty high as cedar trees. He says, Gaharekei, like the mighty mountains. Ashrei Yodom writes the Chidoh. Fortunate and happy is the man, Bohem Yehege, who is going to study the words of the Rosh, the Yanigasimoy, not enough to study, but adopt it, Lemaise, the Yanigasimoy, and he will conduct himself, Ubonov and his children, his family, Bohem, the Cheikh Oichal Yitan, he will savor the sweetness of the Varm Kedoshim Hayoisim, the Pekodesh is coming from Pekodesh. So, I'm going to show you, look here, turn the sheet, I'm going to show you number 7. Number six, by the way, these are the words of the Ponovitcherov, which are more or less and more of the same, so we don't have to repeat it. But here's also the Ponovitcherov himself, who talks about the Orchis Chaim of the Rosh. Of course, we know where the Ponovitcherov was, and he talks about how important it is, and he talks about how the yeshivas, especially Chodesh El, writes the Ponovitcherov in Europe, they used to study Orchis Chaim Laharosh. What you see here, the title page, number seven, of course, this is a modern print. But the words of this modern print that you see in number 7 is exactly the words of the Tosfos Yontif when he published it. In other words, this is the words of the title page that the Tosfos Yontif himself published, but in modern print. So when you see here, let's read it over here. So what you're reading now are the words of the title page of the Tosfos Yontif. Sefer Orchis Chaim, Tikein v'chibur, right? It was established and was authored by Moreno, our master, Rabbeinu, our teacher, Harav Hamuvik Asher Heir Eine Kol HaGoyle, the great Rebbe who illuminated, right, the entire exile, b'chiburov, with his svarim, who Rabbeinu Osher Bar Yechiel, Oviv Shel Harav Rabbeinu Yaakov Balaturim. Interesting that the Tosfos Yontif felt it necessary to mention that the Rosh is the father of the Balaturim. He was also the father of Rabbeinu Yehuda, we say. And he had other sons as well. But for some reason, Tosfos Yontif felt it necessary on the title page to identify that the Rosh happens to be the father of the Balaturim. You know who the Rosh was. Besides who the Rosh was, he's the father of the Balaturim. Ukedei Lohokil. This is all the words of the Tosfos Yontif. Ukedei Lohokil, he says, and to make it easier, Chilakti ze hamaymer orchas chayim l'shiva chalokim. So you see clearly the Tosfos Yontif. He says, I divided it into seven chalokim, l'mispo shiva yimei ha-shvua, right, which amounts to 7 days a week. Uma'ato, and now, tikantif, I established, af yosadativ, and I founded, I made a takona, loyma kol yoyim chelik echod, koydim borach shoma. It was so important, as you see, for the Tosfos Yontif, for this takona, that I put it on the title page. On the title page, and as you see on the bottom, you see here it says in the small print, Nusach, this is the Nusach Shar HaSefer, that's the Me'etzem Ksav Yad Kosher. That's from the Etzem Ksav Yad. This is taken from the Ksav Yad of the Tosfos Yontif. B'soiv hadroshe shedorash Rabbeinu Tosfos Yontif zechusa yogin lein olam. B'beis haknesses be'ir Wien, Vienna. With Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chayesora. He gave a drosha shnas shin pei vov. That's 1626. He gives a drosha. And by the way, that drosha still is in print. The drosha that he gave was on Parshas Chayesora. He gave a whole drosha, and at the end of the drosha, the Tosfos Yontif says, and now he concludes, I'm establishing and I'm making a takona, that everybody, he says, every day to learn one chelik, to one portion, he says, of the Sefer, he says, Orchas Chaim, while you're wearing talis tefillin, you're ready to daven, just before Baruch Shomar to do that. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. The reason that is also brought down, that he had another incident, besides the fact when we mentioned the Suda Soidor, that the Einikluch make, his descendants make, because he was saved from literally from a life-threatening situation, he had more Soros, and he got saved from that also, and as a Hoidor, Takorish Baruch Hu, and he's making a Takona, he says, to bring people closer to Yerushalayim, by making the Takona the Orchis Chaim. So this was another Sibbe of the instrument, right, the initiation to be able to make this takona was based upon the fact that he had another tzara that he was saved from. So at least we got to learn one shtikla boys. We still have like 2 minutes or so, which we want to end with a little maisa also. The whole thing was maisa till now anyway. So I'm not sure I'm going to end with a maisa. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look here. Orchis Chaim. Okay. So Orchis Chaim, Rabbi Yisai, starts out, first of all, even the title, you see, the great Balamusa say that even the words of the title, you see what the tachlis of the Sefer is. In the words, the title is, the Elo HaDvorim, these are the things, says the Rosh, Sheyizor Behem, that you have to be careful about. You know why it's important to be careful about these things? Losur mimoik shemodis. In other words, as you go out into the world, there are traps that are ready to ensnare you, right? And literally to destroy you. To destroy you. He's talking about spiritually. So in order to be spared, in order to avoid the moikshe mothers, to be ensnared, right, in the traps of death, says Adapti, says these teachings that I'm teaching you. Losur mi moikshe mothers and vele'or bo'er ha'chaim. And able to live in an illuminated world, which is the light of life. So, as you see, Liyom Rishon. For example, you see why we're saying everything is short. He has one line. Yeah, any sefer, take Orcha Sadikim. He speaks about Gaive. He has pages and pages on Gaive. Right? Any Musa sefer, when they talk about some things, he has pages and pages. Here he has one word, Aleph. Lehisrachek min ha-gaive betachlis ha-richuk. Beis already goes into a different meter. Beis he talks about v'chei min ha-chanifes. Also stay away from flattery. But you see here, so it means that every line here is supposed to contain an oile moly. So for example, take a look at Moshe Sternbuch, let's take a look over here, right? The Hisrachek, he says, Men agayve betachles harichuk. What we're going to do is look at the second piece. In other words, it's not enough to distance yourself from gaive. Gaive means arrogance, pride. A person, right, should not be about gaive. Don't be swell-headed. But it's not enough to distance yourself from gaive. Betachles harichuk. What it means is, as far as you can go. If you can go a step further, that's what you have to do. So Moshe Sternbuch says like this. He says, Yesh onov shemedameshu hu godol mamish b'chochme. There is a type of an onov, right? That he really believes that he's a great godol in chochme, but he doesn't request kovet, because gaive does not allow him. In other words, I deserve kovet, but being that what, that you're not allowed to, so I'm not going to request kovet. There's a type of anonov shemedamen in his mind, he imagines who godol mamish b'chochma, ela shemipnei iser gaive in a doyish kovet. So therefore he's not requesting kovet, because it's an iser of gaive. However, he says there's a bigger madrega of anivis. The bigger madrega of anivis, achyesh onov mamish, who really feels he doesn't deserve kovet. That's the real onov. The real onov is not someone who doesn't demand kovet, but really he deserves it. But I don't demand it because there's an iser of gaive, so I don't demand kovet. But there's an onov mamish. The onov mamish is someone who really feels he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it, he says. That's called tachlis harichuk. Because you can be an onov the other way too, but that's not tachlis harichuk. You still have some gaive in you. Loyal might deserve COVID, but there's an iser gaive, so I'm not going to demand it. That is, so you're distancing, yeah. So you are distancing from gaive. You're not demanding COVID, but it's not the tachlis harichuk. Why? Because really you feel you deserve it. To distance yourself, the tachlis harichuk means to the point that a person feels that he doesn't even deserve it. So I just want to mention to you that the Lashon HaRambam, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Deos, I'm going to quote you the Lashon HaRambam. Rambam says in Hilchos Deos basically the halachas that talk about midos. The Yesh Deos, he says, there are certain midos. Remember the Rambam, everybody knows, the Rambam has his mahalach. That was the problem, it was called the Shvil HaZohav. What is the Shvil HaZohav? To go B'derech HaMamusa. A person should not be an extremist. Shouldn't be too much to the right, shouldn't be too much to the left. A person should be B'derech Beinani. The Rambam says, but there are certain midos that you have to be extreme. There are certain midos, it's not acceptable to be in the middle. It's not acceptable for that to be in the middle. The yesh deyos, deyos means midos. The word deyos means midos. The yesh deyos, there are certain midos, he says, character traits, she osir le'odom linhoig behem bebeinunis. That's portion osir. Eli yisrachek min ha-kotze ho-echon le-ketzei ho-achar. The who, and what is that? Goiva ha-leiv. So Gaiva, says the Rambam, is different than all the other midos. A person goes in the middle. Not too much to the right, not too much to the left. But he said, but there's one midah, he says, that going in the middle is not good enough. That you have to distance yourself completely. There's a mamish like the Russian of the rush that we have over here. Betachlis, betachlis tarichrik. So I want to mention to you, you know that one of the Rishonim, let's call it rival Rishonim, because you know, when you have the Cheshvan of the Tayag mitzvahs, it's not clear which mitzvah is going to the Cheshvan of 613. Because Emma says we have many more than 613. If you only thought we had 613, many more. 613 are a special Cheshvan that make up in this Cheshvan. There are certain conditions to go into the count of 613. So there's Machloikas, the Rambam has his list, and Ramban has his list, and then there's the Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Godel. We quoted in one of the Chumashurim a few weeks ago. The Smag was Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, right? Who lived in the 13th century, right? In the 1200s. So he has his own Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he writes as follows. He has in the Lav, Samach Dalet, Lav number 64, and we're finishing with this. What's the Loisase? Which Isser is number 64? Sheloi Lehizgois. In others, he puts that in the Targag Mitzvahs. Not everybody does. The Smag puts Isser Gaive into the Tayag Mitzvahs. That's Lav Samach Dalad. You hear that? It's half of a fella. Because usually midos are not part of the Tayag Mitzvahs. But the Smag puts it in. Shaloi Lizgoy, Shirema, Hishomer. Hishomer is a Lav. Hishomer. Hishomer Lachot. The Romel of Avecho, right? Shachachto, Hashem Lekecho. You'll become haughty. How did he know to do that? Because he saw the other Rishonim don't put that in. The other Rishonim don't put in Gaiva as one of the Lavim of the Mitzvahs Lois in the Targum Mitzvahs. So guess what? Lav ze heru l'Rabbeinu Moshe balasmag min hashemayim b'maris halayla. A lot of mysticism tonight, Rabbi Yisrael. Min hashemayim, they came to him and they said, listen, you're writing a sefer on Targum Mitzvahs. So Shemayim came to him and they said to him, kishagia lahashlim sifroi, when he was just about to finish his sefer, nemar loy b'chaloyim, shochachta se'ikr, you're just finishing the sefer, you forgot the ikr. He's born in all of Baboiker. So he gets up in the morning, he starts thinking about what he dreamt. V'hine yisoid godol b'yeres Hashem. He says, he realized that this is the yisoid godol to a distance from Gaiva, and he puts it in as a loisese, the loisese of Gaiva. Okay, listen.